Okay, I am back. I am a little bit delayed with respect to the agenda. We were supposed now to start with an exercise, but as I said, it's the first time that I give this course, and there are some minor differences. Still, I believe in about 50 minutes we should be able to start with the exercise. So among the things that we did was to get information about the behavior of the indicators over time, here the risk level, historically, assume best-based behavior against assume worst-case behavior. Similarly for other indicators, like for instance, reported events per week, historical, best case, as the worst case, two possible worst case behaviors we are given, depending on the behavior of the reporters, whether they gave up reporting or whether they continued being interested, where there was a lot of more and more incidents and then they stopped notifying because they didn't get help enough. And so on for different indicators. Then we ask about possible strategies. And again, in group work, we ask everybody to write in a four sheet like this, some proposal for a strategy. Then in a plenary, they were, after we input on the wall, reorganized. Then we ask them to rank them according to affordability and effectiveness. Again, the idea being that those strategies that are both affordable and effective are those that we primarily should include in model. Again, after the principle that if the model that we develop based on minimal assumptions is not good enough, then we will take the next step and decide what do we need to add in order to make it, to improve the model. Always from simple to more complex, never taking a step to include new things until we feel that it is, the previous model is well understood and that it's absolutely necessary to increase the complexity of the model. So, as I said several times, when we develop a simulation model according to the system dynamics methodology, which you will learn more in a while, a key point is to unify the elicited knowledge. So, we have assembled information about important pieces. From that, we can start asking the participant as to what is the cause of something happening so that we can gradually build up a causal network, causal diagram, as we call it. Then identifying information that is missed that we need to retrieve or to search for. And as I said before, the model development occurs in stages, a draft during the workshop, elaborated model during the workshops, where we also go back to the problem owners and ask for their feedback and validation, and then iterating and improving the model from workshop to workshop. So you won't understand very much what you are seeing here, but still, so that you get an impression, here is a diagram of a sector of a problem. It's an overview of the main sectors of the problems. We divided that in users, risk sector, incident handling, IT department, and management, and they were connected with each other as this arrow show. And within of these sectors, there was more detail. Here is now the complete model. This is one sector, another sector, another sector, and so on, with the connections between them. And all the things that you see here, these graphical representations, are actually related to equations in the model that allow that to simulate. How this is done, we will learn later. With one remark is important. Finolab use Dynaplan, the tool that is No, I think the tool is called SMIA, but the company is Dynaplan. So to use SMIA, the tool of Dynaplan, for model the system. And later, Finn Olaf joined that company. He is now working full-time with them. For a while, he was just associated with NTNU. So then, finally, you can look up in his thesis for different simulations of different indicators to be compared with historical one, the blue one, best case, and whatever. So this is just an introduction. Don't bother so much about the details. The point was to describe for you the process of group model building, how it has been used, so that you get an idea as to that. Within this course, we will not use group model building because we lack the facilities to that. But this is a background that is something that allows you to understand how the models were derived, that I will show you later. And also in the future, maybe your company may face a novel challenge, and you may recognize that it is convenient to use a group model building process, and you have an idea as to what it is. So you could, if you propose that for your company, you can look back at these slides and then tell them that's the way it's done. And if you are interested, then contact so-and-so. There are different teams that do group model building. One is my team. So you could contact me. You could also contact the University of Bergen. You could contact Dynaplan. You could contact PowerSim. Dynaplan and PowerSim are both Norwegian companies. PowerSim is the company that I co-founded. You could contact groups in Netherlands at the University of Nijmegen. They are very good at this. Or SUNY at Albany. They are very good at that. Or MIT, the System Dynamics Group at MIT. So there are a lot of groups that can assist in this respect. So we have a lot of experiences about group model building for more than 30 years. A main conclusion is that the very fact of participating in a group model building workshop, I am speaking now about the problem awareness, is seen as very valuable because it creates a lot of insights, a lot of learning. It integrates knowledge that is found fragmented in different heads, in different sectors, and it discovers missing pieces and so on. So even if you don't consider the system dynamic model, the very fact of being active in that adds to the expertise, knowledge, and so on of the organization that is dealing with a novel challenge. In addition, you have the system dynamic model. And assessment shows that participants value both things about equally. The workshop itself and the value of the model, which can be used later for doing analysis, exploration, what if, and so on and so on. So there's a lot of literature that you could, if you are interested, look up. But as I said before, it is in case you are particularly interested in something. Otherwise, the slides and the exercises and projects that you conduct here are enough for you passing the course, and also, I guess, for not only for passing, but also for really learning something new. So all the literature that you see here, I have added up, and you find it as articles in Blackboard, so you can inspect things if you like, and more will be added later. Finally, a remark about Blackboard. Sorry about my voice. I need to take Lecarol. Blackboard It's a new experience, not only for me, but also for NTNU. It's a new system. It hasn't been universally adopted until now. NTNU, as many other institutions in Norway, has been using Fronto. But now NTNU is transitioning to Blackboard. They have asked for staff that volunteers to try Blackboard this term. So we have, we are pioneers, we are doing that. We are learning what we are doing. And now, after having used Blackboard a while, I must admit that I know how I should have done it much better. The structure that I have is too linear. There are much better ways to put together the different parts of the system. So I apologize for that. Probably for the next two sessions, I will organize the materials differently. And maybe, if I have time, I could regroup and assemble the materials for this first part, this first class, differently so that it is easier to navigate and that exploits better the features of Blackboard. But I will do that later, if I have time, with this part, so as to not to confuse you. For the time being, it is as it is here. So, with that, we've stop this thing here. And I wonder if you have questions or want to raise your hands or see something. Rune says no. What about William? William told me that he may step off depending on situation. Oh, he's here. Okay, good. Good to have him on board. It's nice to be, to feel that we are interactive. As I said, this was just a landscape that I painted for you, about a landscape where you can orient yourself now. If you are particularly interested in group model building, to know more about that, there is also some additional literature that I haven't uploaded or referenced to, but I could do that. So it's up to you and the other participants in the course. You tell me, I would like to have more about group model building, and I can give you more references. There are books and there are articles and so on. But on the other hand, you learn several of the articles that you see here describe group model building. So for instance, here, this paper by Yosun Hernandez, Leire Labaca, Ana Loger, Jose Maris Arregui, myself, Group Model Building, a Collaborative Modeling Methodology Applied to Critical Infrastructure Protection. There you will find a description of the process for, I believe that was the CEMPOC project, a European-funded project, about vulnerabilities and grids. Okay? Then I stop sharing these files, and my suggestion now would be, as an exercise, if we do something together. That is, I would suggest that we create a model using VenSim, but we do that together. So my question is, do you both have installed VenSim PLE? I think yes, and I think William had. I think he told me before that he had. Okay, so you have it. Did you try the tutorial that I uploaded a while ago? I mean, the first section, yes. And Rune, did you try or? Part of it. Okay. Then I would suggest the following. Let's do part one together anyhow. And then I will do part two with you later, again interactively. And in that connection, I can see things that are not in the tutorial. and that will add to your knowledge. So if you agree, we are kind of repeat that. Very good. So I stop this. I go to share files, share application, and I will share the whole screen. And then you should be seeing now Vensim. You should be seeing Vensim now. The problem is I don't see now your chat. I'm not so sure how to do that. If I want to see your chat, let me see here. No, probably you have a little problem with that. Yes, I will in between look at the chat and see if you are communicating, because when I am showing this application, I don't see your chats and so on. Another possibility is that you use your microphone and talk to me. So let's create a model. The model that we are creating is something that we will see later can be called a system archetype. But let me add that system archetypes are particular instances of so-called causal diagrams. They are diagrams where we put causes and effects, and the effects tend again to be causes of new effects and so on. A system archetype is a particular structure among the causal loop diagrams that only has three so-called feedback loops. But they tend to be, if you design at a high level, able to represent basically all problems of strategic importance. So let's think of a case. Let's think of a case where you have an organization, and this organization wants to improve the security, the information security. So the CISO, Computer Information Security Officer, has detected that security isn't as it should be. And in the model, what we do now is that we create a new model. We click at here. What you see here is for numerical simulation, and for the time being we don't need that, meaning that whatever is here is irrelevant. Later we will see that has to do with the time horizon that you're simulating, the accuracy of simulation, whether we're using which units of time you're using and so on and so on, and how you are doing the computations. But now we are not doing computations, we are only representing graphically causes and effects. So you just accept it as it is and don't bother more about that. Then you have here a set of symbols that you can use to create the model. The other symbols that you see here, they will be used later for numerical simulation, as also the symbols that you see here. For the time being, the most important one is the symbol variable. But you see there are two of them, variable and box variable. We will learn later about the differences. At the time being, this one is the only we need, only one we need. Later we will see that when we want to do numerical simulations, then we have to distinguish between variables. But at the time being, this is not important. So you click on that, then you notice the cursor has added a T for a text, that means you can write text. And you put it somewhere, click on that, and let's put security as indicator of the security organization. How do you measure this? Is right now not too important, but let's assume that you have some external auditor and that he is giving a score for the overall security of the organization by weighting different security aspects. Suppose you are following ISO standards and so on, and you have agreed on some weights and so on, and you have a score here between, say, 0 and 100, where 100 is perfect security. Now, this security is not high enough, so the chief information security officer would like to have higher security. Let's click here and call that higher security, that goal, desired security. And enter, and you have it here. Now, what matters is the gap between the desired security and your security. So let's define that. Call it security gap. And now we can start defining relations. The security gap is the comparison or the difference between the desired security, the target, the goal, and the actual security. So in order to represent that security gap depends on both, we select the arrow and draw influences from what influences to what is being influenced. So security influences security gap. So you click on that and click on that, and you get an arrow. And you see a little circle here that you can use to give it any shape you like. You can move it to the side, or you can also move it up and upwards, because that makes different influences on the way you change influence point. Desired security influences security gap as well, so you click here like this. We can now add more information, because we would like to represent polarities, and that is the way these arrows influence. And there are only two possibilities. Let's think now as to the way this influence goes from desired security to security gap. Suppose you increase your goal, you make it higher and higher. So if you increase the desired security, everything being equal, what happens to the security gap? Does it increase or does it decrease? Think a little bit about it. So you keep this equal. You increase desired security. What happens to the security gap, everything being equal? I look if you are chatting with me. I don't see any increases. Yes, it increases. So we say desired security and security gap move in the same direction if they increase. But let's see, what if you choose a lower target? You decrease the desired security. What happens to the security gap? Decreases or increases? Okay? Decreases. Yes. So we conclude desired security and security gap move in the same direction. If the cost increases, the consequence increases. But if the cost decreases, the consequence decreases. And this we represent, right-click on this circle, with a polarity. Here you see the polarity that we call plus. Some people get confused, because in terms of plus, which you see here, they think of addition. That means desired security always results in adding to a security gap. But here you have to think differently. The plus sign is not for addition, but it is more in the same we use it with positive and negative things. So it is in the same area. It is both up. If one goes up, the other up. Or if it goes down, the other goes down as well. I know this is confusing, because I have experience with teaching modeling system dynamics, and it occurs time and again that some student gets it wrong. Especially wrong is in the next case, where we have a negative polarity. Because let's think now about the way actual security influences the security gap. Remember, the security gap is the difference between the desired security and the actual security. Now, suppose actual security increases by some way. What happens to the gap? Does it increase or does it decrease? We are speaking about negative quality. We increase security, so the security gap decreases, says William. Do you agree, Runa? If security increases, yes. Okay, very good. So this, now suppose the opposite. Suppose by some reason the security, the actual security becomes worse, it decreases. What happens to the security gap? Well, I am sure you have the answer. Then the security gap increases. So now you see the cause, security, and the consequence, the security gap, move in opposite directions. If security increases, security gap decreases, and the opposite. So this we represent with a negative polarity. We click here, right click, and choose the minus there. Okay. By the way, if you don't like the minus to be to the right, then you can select here where it is inside or outside. It depends on how you have drawn what is inside and outside. But if you put here outside, then you get a minus there. Sometimes we don't change this. Sometimes we do change if it happens that these polarities happen to be too close from different links so that you can confuse them so as to separate them. Then you know. Okay, then we continue now. What will a computer information security officer do if there's a security gap? A lot of things. It could be done a lot of things. So we cannot say here, we cannot give a solution for all organizations. And also this is not like physics where if you have a cause, you have a consequence. Here you can have many different decisions. And we are now speaking about a management decision. And let's, in our case, assume that the CISO is a security, a technology freak. He says, okay, we have to invest in this and that, new firewalls, new systems, new intrusion detections, whatever, technology systems. Okay, so the decision is to invest in technology. So let's put here as a new parameter or a new variable, technology investment. Which we will measure in some way. We ask whether I want to save the sketch to enable automatic backup. Yes, normally you should do that. So save it, it is enabled that. And then you will solve it in some way. I am going to save it in my Venzi model archetypes as a tech freak. Or whatever. You choose your own name and save it your own way. Okay. So, I am not going to spend too much time now on the difficult decision as to how to measure the technology investment. There are obvious many different measures. We could simply say money invested or whatever. That's not necessarily the best metric. But at the moment, I am more concerned with the fact that we are eliciting some indicators and making some decisions and putting causes and effects. Then we can review this later and see if we can improve it in some way. So again, we have a connection here. Now I am showing you a new trick. If you want to bend the arrow, you can click in between and that's where the circle will appear and you get a curve with a circle there. So instead of straight line and then bending it, you can click in between once. That gives you the circle and then a final destination. Then this technology investment requires that the new technology is integrated with existing technology. So we put a new variable there. I call it a variable because there are things that we can measure. We can do the technology integration to lower or higher degree. So And depending on how well we do it, how much we do, this will have impact on security. So that's why I put it like this here. And again, we have an arrow. Later, I will come back to the polarities, like this. How well this technology that we have invested in integrated is affects then the technology performance with respect to security, of course. And again, I put an arrow. I can move it here so that I can see this little thing a little bit better. And finally, this technology performance will influence the way, sorry, I need to select arrow, the way security performs. Okay? And then what I got is a chain of cause and effects in a loop, and this we call feedback. Because any change in any of these will feedback on itself. So if the security gap changes, this will affect how much technology is invested, how much we integrate, how well the technology performs, how security behaves, and that will come and influence the security gap. Any questions? Yes, William asked a way to move the entire diagram together. Yes, you can. First of all, select the hand for moving, and then you can draw around the whole thing and move it anywhere. You can also view, zoom, feed to screen, and then it put it somewhere here. You can zoom it and so on and so on. Another way of moving everything instead of drawing is Control A, that selects everything, and you can move it to where you like. Other questions? Okay, seems everything is in place. Now, as to the polarities. The bigger the security gap, the more you have to invest, so this should have positive polarity. By the way, this little circle, you can influence both with selected arrow or selected hand. So now you can right click here, I have this hand selected, and I put a positive polarity. The more you invest, the more you will have to integrate, so positive polarity. The better the whole thing is integrated, the better, the higher the performance, so positive polarity. And the better it performs, the more security improves, so positive polarity. So now we have all the polarities, and we can save it. And now let's ask the question, how do this feedback work? And by this I mean the following. Make an assumption of any element of the loop and say, consider what happens if that element increases or if that element decreases. And the answer, you can test it by yourself. That's a useful exercise as homework. You will always get the same answer no matter where you start. Let's start with suppose the security gap increases because the CISO has made the decision to put a higher, ambitious, more ambitious target. So the security gap has increased. Because this has increased, you have to make more technology investment, which lead to more technology integration, to more technology performance, better, to higher security, which decreases the security gap. So again, an increase in security gap put a set of consequences, trigger a set of consequences that over time increase security and therefore decrease the security gap. And this is the same if you ask the question, what if security gap decreased? Suppose the size was recognized, no, the target is too ambitious, let's put it lower. Less of a security gap, less investment. Remember, it goes in the same direction. Less investment, less integration, less performance, worse performance, less security, and that increases the security gap. So we have a feedback that we call balancing feedback. Any change in any of the components of the loop, you can check that by doing a similar reasoning with the other components, with the other variables here. Any change triggers a set of consequences that later opposes the change. This we call balancing feedback. And because this model that we are creating that should be easy to read and to comprehend, we add an element that immediately explains the feedback loop at first glance. And we do that by taking the comment icon, clicking on that, clicking in here, and here we put in B for balancing, technology-driven security. And in addition, we tell the reader how the loop is going, so that immediately, without having to look at the variables and the arrows, you get an indication. We have drawn it in a way that the loop goes clockwise. So we click here, okay, and then this is not visible, that means we have to expand that, and there you have it. So the clue of having good causal loop diagrams, this is already a causal loop diagram, is that it should be easy to understand and to read, and we use them very often, not only for ourselves but also for communication purposes. So I have discovered that many of my former students like these archetypes a lot. They tell me they are using them in discussions and conversations in the organizations and the company. And some of them adopt this for their master thesis. As I have now two students who are using system dynamics in their master thesis. Both belong to the Norwegian Defense. One of them is working with network-based defense. And the project is very similar to the one that we did with integrated operations. That is about when you go on from traditional military operations to a more network base, what kind of risk do arise? What kind of vulnerabilities? How can you prevent them? And what consequences do they have? And that depends on a lot of things, including how you deploy, how you transform traditional operations. You cannot do it all at once, so you will have to do it stepwise. And how these new processes demand new knowledge and how you achieve new knowledge and all kind of things. Anyhow, so this is one thing. The other thing is there is no reason why this loop should be drawn in this way. I could have drawn it this way. So it's your choice if you like with a clock or against the clock, or if you want to mix the different loops, some with a clock, clockwise, others against clock. So it's up to you. Now we continue, and because the emphasis in this company is on technology, we assume, and that's typically a consequence, that the management of security is neglected. So to the extent that there is an information security management system, this will suffer, which raises again the interesting question as to the metric. How do you measure the performance of the information security management system? But if you know the standards, then you know indeed that's part of the cycle, the mean cycle, to assess the performance of the information security management systems. So there is or should be a metric for that by external audits, for instance. And then we have an arrow, and we click here, we click somewhere here, and we click here, and then we adapt this arrow so that it is not too exaggerate like this here. And the assumption is over time, and I didn't perhaps mark it too well, but with some time delay, this technology investment will lead to information security management systems to suffer. So too much of this will be less of this. So there will be negative polarity. But in addition, I would like to add a delay mark, which I didn't have in the tutorial, to indicate that this process will not be immediate. It will take some time until you really see that the management is suffering, owing to lack of attention, lack of resources, and so on. And if this suffers, then this will also have consequences on security. And the polarity now will be positive. The better this performs, the information security management system, the better security will be, the higher, and the opposite. So I right-click on this, and I put a positive polarity. And also, this will probably have delayed influence, not very immediate, so I put a delay sign here to represent this. And now I have closed another loop. Can you immediately see what is the loop that I have closed? This requires that you vault the cycle. So my suggestion is the following. Start with technology investment and go with your mouse, follow the arrows to ISMS, to security, follow the arrows to security gap, to technology investment. So the loop is this one here. We don't have a loop here from technology investment to ISMS to security to technology performance. No, because the arrow goes the opposite way. You have to follow the arrows because the arrows is the propagation of effects. So an change in technology investment influences ISMS, influences security, influences security gap, and it feeds back on technology investment. So that's a feedback loop. What kind of feedback loop is this? Now I give you, say, 1 minute to do it by yourself. Assume that you have more technology investment. Please tell me how the feedback results. Does it lead to more or less security investment when you follow the loop this way? Okay, I see that William has a question why the information security management system is negatively influenced. The assumption here is that because you are overemphasizing technology and you have always limited resources, limited attention, and so on, this goes at the expense of the information security management system. On the other hand, this is a case, an assumption that I'm making. In a wise organization, if they have understood, for instance, if you draw this archetype, then they will recognize, oh, yeah, wait a moment, it is not enough to invest in technology. We have also to invest in the information management security system. Information security management system. Otherwise, as Rune says, there will be a null-sum game. You are investing more in one, but losing in the other. So it depends on the organization. In a wise organization, they will not just rely on technology. They will also think, what kind of consequences does it have for the management systems? How can I improve it? How does the new technology affect controls, and so on and so on. But now we are in the case of a person of a CISO that is extremely convinced that technology solves everything, and we assume that information security management system suffers.